Tomash did not exist before this episode. What they're about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In the construction sector across Islington South and Finsbury, one of the more deprived constituencies in the country, skilled trades training sites unfunded while housing targets go unmet. Empty workshops stand beside waiting lists of hundreds, as those who would build the homes London needs are told there is no money for the training that would put them to work.
I came to London when I was 8, when my parents decided Portugal wasn't giving our family the future we deserved. We settled in Finsbury Park, and I grew up watching the city change around me. By 16, I was working to help keep us afloat, warehouses, shops, whatever paid. But I always had this thing with my hands. I could fix anything that broke in our flat. When the washing machine packed up, I figured out the problem before the repairman arrived. My dad used to joke that I had electricity in my fingers. By 2023, I knew what I wanted. I wanted to learn electrical installation properly, get my qualifications, maybe start my own contracting business one day. London's always building something, and I wanted to be part of it, not just shifting boxes in a warehouse until my back gave out. I started with the Construction Industry Training Board in early 2023. They run the apprenticeship schemes that everyone talks about. I filled in their forms, waited for the call. When it came, the woman on the phone was polite but firm. Places are full for this intake. Try again next year. I asked if there was a waiting list, anything I could do. Just reapply next year, that's the process. Next stop was Islington Council's Employment Centre on Upper Street. The advisor there seemed genuinely sorry. We used to run training courses, she told me. The budget has been cut, central government reduced the allocation, and we had to choose what to keep running. I asked what happened to the people who needed training. They have to find private providers now. Here's a list. City and Islington College was next. I walked down to their Finsbury Park campus, found the admissions office. The electrical installation course existed, but the waiting list was over 200 people long. We just don't have the capacity, the administrator explained. The funding doesn't stretch to the number of people who want to do this. I tried 3 private training providers across North London. Each conversation followed the same script. Yes, they ran electrical courses. No, they couldn't take me on without Construction Industry Training Board funding approval. The levy funding has to come through CITB, one told me. We can't just charge you directly and expect the qualification to be recognised. Finally, I got through to a CITB regional office. This time, the explanation was more detailed. Funding allocations have been reduced this year, the man said. Priority is being given to areas with lower economic activity. London is seen as having sufficient training provision already. I asked him what that meant for someone like me, standing here with my hands empty, wanting to work. Try again next year. The allocations might be different. 6 months later, I was walking past City and Islington College on my way to another warehouse shift. The electrical workshop faces the street, big windows so you can see inside. It was completely empty, not just quiet, empty, cables and equipment sitting unused, workbenches clear, not a person in sight. I recognised one of the tutors from my initial visit having a cigarette outside. I asked him why the workshop was dark during what should have been class time. He shook his head. We've got capacity for 30 more students in there, the equipment, the space, the staff hours, but we can't fill the places. I didn't understand. Why not? The funding formula doesn't account for London's housing targets, he said. They allocate training places based on historical patterns, not on what we actually need to build. We're supposed to train electricians to wire the homes that have planning permission, but the money gets spread thin across the whole country instead of going where the building's happening. That was when I started to see it differently. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. But I could see the workshop sitting empty. I could count the 200 people on the waiting list. I could walk past construction sites across Islington where they needed electricians. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the equipment was available. They were. All of them. I was looking at them through the workshop window. The excuse was not a fact, it was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still working warehouse shifts while those workshops sit empty. But I understand now that this is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The construction sites need electricians. The electricians need training. The training centers have empty benches. Somewhere between all of these facts, someone decided that connecting them was impossible. That decision had nothing to do with money and everything to do with the choice not to spend it.
What Tomash experienced has a name, logical fallacy. A false analogy compares two different things as though they work the same way. It would be like saying that managing a goldfish bowl is the same as managing the ocean because both contain water. The scale and the rules are completely different. Every time someone told Tomash there is no money, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. A household has to earn or borrow pounds before it can spend them. The UK government issues the pound. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them into the economy through training programs, apprenticeships, or infrastructure projects. The Construction Industry Training Board, Islington Council, and City and Islington College all operated as though they were managing household budgets, carefully rationing the pounds they had been allocated. But those pounds came from a government that creates them when it spends. The constraint was never the availability of currency. It was the political choice to limit spending on training while housing targets went unmet. The austerity objection in construction, we cannot afford to build council housing, rests on this same fallacy. The UK government issues the pound. It cannot run out of its own currency. The question is whether we have the builders and land, not whether the Treasury can afford it. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Islington South and Finsbury ranks 139 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in decile 3. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 1,807 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received were £154.8 million, £360 giving grant NAVI. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.